Yemen warns Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates that violating a UN-brokered truce will trigger a painful response. The UN Human Rights Office expresses grave concern over the excessive use of force by the Israeli military against Palestinians. Also in the headlines, the final duel is on for the French presidency. Voters will decide which of the two candidates will be the next occupant of the Elysee Palace. Thank you for joining us. Our top story, the Saudi-led coalition is refusing to authorize commercial flights out of Yemen's capital despite a ceasefire agreement in place. National carrier Yemenia says the first commercial flight from Sana'a in 6 years has now been indefinitely postponed. The plane was due to take patients in need of medical treatment to Jordan's capital, Amman. The arrangement was part of a two-month UN-mediated truce between Yemen's Ansar Allah movement and the Saudi-led coalition in early April. The airport in Sana'a has been closed to commercial traffic since August 2016 when airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition disrupted service to the city. Hundreds of thousands of Yemenis have lost their lives directly and indirectly due to the war and blockade that Saudi Arabia and its allies started 7 years ago. The country is crippled by poverty, hunger, and disease, with more than 70% of the population in need of humanitarian assistance. Yemen's Ansar Allah movement warns Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates of a painful response if they further undermine a UN-brokered truce. Spokesman Mohammed Abdul Salam says the coalition is mobilizing its forces on the Maghrib front, adding that Yemeni armed forces and popular committees are ready to counter any hostile act. Ansar Allah and the Saudi-led coalition agreed to a two-month truce early this month. The ceasefire has been fragile, however, amid sporadic reports of Saudi attacks on Yemen. Ansar Allah officials also say the coalition continues to violate the terms of the agreement by seizing Yemeni fuel ships and obstructing flights out of Sana'a Airport. Yemeni political activist and political commentator that is Hossein Al-Bukhaiti says the Saudi-led coalition has repeatedly violated the truce that came into effect earlier this month, but the United Nations has only expressed concern without any action.
Still, the Saudi artillery shall continue in some areas in the border between Sana'a and Yemen. That's why I believe if the just imagine we about 24 days has gone from this truce and Saudi did not allow any flight to come or to go out of Sana'a. The agreement said that two flights a week will come to Sana'a. This means that the Saudi till now are actually is the one who obstructing this truce, and the United Nations, especially the UN envoy to Yemen, he should be cleared and he should pinpoint who is actually obstructing this truce. But I've seen his latest statement about half an hour ago. He said that they feel concerned about the latest news about that a flight that was supposed to Sana'a was cancelled. I mean, United Nations, their statement is all about concern. But as soon as Sana'a will respond to the Saudi breach of this truce or attack Saudi Arabia, we will see all-out condemnation from the United Nations and from other country who is actually making profit from this war against Yemen.
Now, the United Nations is demanding impartial, independent investigations into escalating violence in occupied Palestine. The spokeswoman for the UN Human Rights Office is gravely concerned about the growing atrocities and the excessive use of force by the Israeli military. Ravina Shamdasani says numerous videos have raised serious concerns about the conduct of Israelis, which is widespread, unnecessary, and indiscriminate. According to the official, many Palestinians have been beaten, shot with sponge-tipped bullets, and sustained serious injuries. Over the past month, Israeli forces have killed and wounded scores of Palestinians and arrested hundreds in the occupied territories, including at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Violence at the Al-Aqsa compound has surged during the fasting month of Ramadan. It all began when dozens of Israeli military forces stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied Old City of Al-Quds and restricted the entry of Palestinian worshippers into the Flashpoint holy site to secure the incursion of hundreds of extremist settlers to mark the Passover holiday. Regime forces assaulted Muslim worshippers inside prayer halls while protecting the Israeli settlers desecrating Islam's third holiest site. So far, at least 19 Palestinians have been killed, while hundreds more have been injured in clashes with Israeli forces. This has raised concerns about a slide back into the wider Israeli-Palestinian conflict, like the one in May last year when frequent acts of violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque led to an 11-day war between Palestinian resistance groups in the besieged Gaza Strip and the Israeli regime. But why is the Al-Aqsa compound a central point of contention in the issue of Palestine? Israel-occupied East Al-Quds, where Al-Aqsa is located, during the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. It annexed the entire city in 1980 in a move never recognized by the international community. The illegal Israeli control of East Al-Quds, including the Old City, violates several principles of international law, which outlines that an occupying power does not have sovereignty in the territory it occupies. Following Israel's occupation of East Al-Quds, a delicate status quo was agreed upon, with Jordan giving Muslims the sole right to pray at Al-Aqsa and Jews at the nearby Western Wall. However, Palestinians accuse Israel of restricting Muslim worship at Al-Aqsa while not doing enough to enforce the ban on Jewish prayer at the compound and even protecting the violators. The ensuing Israeli aggression against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa compound is a flagrant violation of the status quo. Next, what has the international community done to put an end to Israeli violence against Palestinians? Well, the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes with total impunity, and the international community is silent, except for a few words of caution. The United Nations believes it suffices to express deep concern over the worsening security situation in the occupied Palestinian territories, saying it will probe into the use of force at Al-Aqsa. But is that enough? Perhaps the world's largest and most familiar international organization is too busy, preoccupied, or distracted with the Russia-Ukraine war, but the issue of Palestine deserves the same, if not more, attention since it has been ongoing for several decades.
While Israel's latest aggression towards Palestinians and the desecration of the Holy Mosque have drawn condemnations and triggered protests around the world, events have been held to warn about Israel's naked aggression against peaceful worshippers and voice concerns over what they called the criminal silence of Islamic countries and the international community.
Thousands of people across the globe have taken to the streets to deplore Israeli violence against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and elsewhere in the occupied territories, as the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes in Palestine. In Pakistan, thousands of people took part in rallies after Friday prayers in major cities, denouncing the Israeli attacks on Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque as naked terrorism and urging Islamic countries to intervene immediately to protect the sacred site and Palestinian lives. Also in Bangladesh, thousands of people demonstrated against the Israeli onslaught. Elsewhere in Jordan, the protesters called for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador and Amman's withdrawal from the Jordan-Israeli peace treaty signed in 1994. Pro-Palestinian rallies, however, have not been limited to Muslim-majority countries. Rallies were held in the US as well as European capitals such as Amsterdam, London, and Berlin. The protesters called for international action, including sanctions to end the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories and the regime's growing aggression.
And so we're on a continuous upward trend, a continuous upward surge in support for Palestine and support for the boycott and isolation of the Israeli occupation and in standing with the Palestinian resistance.
More protests have been organized in other countries worldwide. One of the many online websites promoting resistance against Israel is Samidun, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, which has urged all Palestinian, Arab and international supporters of Palestine to organize events and confront Israeli massacres and ethnic cleansing, events which are held by different organizations around the world.
In France, polls are now open with incumbent President Emmanuel Macron and his far-right rival Marine Le Pen fighting a final duel in the race for the top job. Some 49 million French are eligible to vote in the hotly contested runoff, with opinion polls predicting Macron to come out the winner. A victory will make him the first French president to be re-elected in 2 decades. But Macron says that's not final and has pleaded with voters to turn out in larger numbers to avert a shock shift to the far right. That's amid Le Pen's insistence that opinion polls giving Macron the lead would be proved wrong. The two also faced off in 2017 elections when Macron won by a decisive margin. Ramit Mazahari is standing by for us at one polling station in the French capital, Paris. Ramit, what's the latest where you are, firstly?
Well, the latest would be is that we're all waiting for everyone to clock Paris time, because there's no exit polls which are allowed here at 8 o'clock. Highly accurate results will be released, and they have always correctly predicted the winner in France's presidential election. So we are all waiting for that. I think one of the things that we definitely want to talk about is, you know, what are the public perceptions of the incumbent, of President Emmanuel Macron? And I think that we can say that his absence from the campaign shows that he really is not able to run on his record. There was a very, very telling poll 3 weeks ago that said that 70% of France doesn't want Macron to be reelected. Now, that's not voter intentions, but that really shows you how really unpopular Macron is. If we also look at, for example, the first round vote, he won about 27%. And that's almost exactly what he did in the first round. So in 5 years, he really has not been able to persuade people to join his side. He had so many things going for him, but it's really this 25% hardcore group of Macron supporters, which has not changed for the last 5 years. I think that the, you know, defining image of Macron's administration is the graffiti by the Yellow Vests on the Arc de Triomphe. That was something that just caused shock worldwide. It was really unbelievable. And here in France, the specific image of this French graffiti was that the Yellow Vest will triumph. It's something that really shook up France, and many people believed that Macron was going to have to step down. And I think that this really goes back to, you know, when we're talking about what are the perceptions of Macron here in France, we have to go back to the book which laid out his campaign platform. It was called Revolution. And Macron is a neoliberal revolutionary. And his big revolution was that, unlike François Hollande, Nicolas Sarkozy, even Jacques Chirac, he refused to make any concessions to street protesters. That's something that his predecessors had always done. Macron refused, and now here we are. And it's absolutely not certain that he's going to be reelected. What I would say is that it's expected. It's likely he's leading 54-46, but it would not be a shock if Marine Le Pen did pull this out.
Right, and then Ramin, can you, like, of course, this is the repeat of the 2017 election. Can you tell us how Marine Le Pen as well has changed since then? And also, again, there are some reports surfacing of people protest voting by casting a blank ballot. Do we know how widespread that is?
It's going to be a record. You know, it's the abstention is going to be the highest rate for a second round runoff since 1969, so more than 50 years. That's going to be around 30%. And then it's these blank or damaged ballots. I mean, people will just make an X through their ballots to say that we don't want either of them. That was at 12% in 2017, and it's going to be probably 15, 16%. So you add these two things up, and what we have is a situation where half of France, half the electorate, is not willing to issue a valid ballot. You also asked me how are things going, how have things changed since 2017? Pretty drastically. I mean, you know, back in 2017, Le Pen was pushing for a Frexit vote within 6 months. She was going to repudiate banker debt. She was talking about leaving the euro. And, you know, just last Wednesday at the lone presidential debate, her and Macron spent most of the time agreeing. Le Pen appeared very, very mainstream. She has dropped those three things that I was talking about just now, you know, compared to 2017. And yes, after 15 years of xenophobia, Islamophobia, France has definitely moved to the right. There's no doubt about that. And that makes Le Pen seem more mainstream. But then how has Macron changed? Back in 2017, people called him a centrist. We see he's authoritarian with the yellow vests. We see he has legalized Islamophobia. And we know for certain that he's on the far right wing when it comes to economics. So there's no sort of, you know, back in 2017, you could sort of project whatever you wanted to onto Macron and hope. Now we know what we have today is two far right candidates. And that's not, it's not any exaggeration to say that these are two fascist candidates. That's what they are. They are close with corporations. They are jingoistic and racist, and they are authoritarian. At least we assume Marine Le Pen would be authoritarian when she got in. I don't think she could get away with something like, you know, the weekly bloodbath that was the yellow vest. But authoritarianism, far-right economics, jingoism and racism, both of them share these things. So France has moved to the right, and it's certainly due to the economic problems, which go back to 1999 when the euro was introduced. That's when inflation got worse. Then they had the age of austerity. Right. Then they had the age of Corona. And now, if Macron wins, especially, it's going to be a Russian sanctions era. So it's really moved to the right here in France.
Ramin, thank you very much indeed for that. Ramin Mazahari, there, our correspondent, joining us live from one polling station in the French capital, Paris. Well, that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, April 24th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So, as usual, please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Or if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here, as yesterday, April 23rd, corresponding with 21st of Ramadan, was the martyrdom anniversary of the Commander of the Faithful and the first infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Ali, peace upon him. Here, we extend our condolences to you on this tragic day. And for your information, tonight might be the night of Qadr or ordainment. The night of Qadr, as you know, is the night of mercy, goodness, and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us, dear listeners around the world. So, may Allah accept our prayers and wishes on this great night. And as usual, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. But for the time being, here we've received some reception reports from around the world, including reception reports from Kurt Ettlinger from Germany, Ding Lu from China, and Olof Ratovara from Finland. As you know, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent us a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here, I do extend my appreciations to Olof Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany for sending us reception reports. And as you know, Mohammad Khaku from the US has sent us an email. Mohammad Khaku is one of our old and regular listeners. Also from India, we've received an email from Madhab Chandra Sagur. From Japan, we've received from our old and regular listeners, from Toshiki Tesuboy. From the US again, we've received an email from Bill McDavid, and Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Please stay with IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special. We come back with these great emails and letters. So, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India has sent us an email. He or she says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, a few days ago, I had the opportunity to listen to your broadcast in English. The intro music was so soothing and the reception in my place, Paragonas, India, was good. At the time of listening, the strong signal reached my area. I hope you find my reception report to be of some use. If the details are correct, please verify with a printed EQSL card. Thank you in advance. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Madhab Chandra Sagur from India, and many thanks for sending us this email. It seems that you've already joined IRIB English Radio. This is your radio. Let this mutual relationship between us and you continue. Madhab Chandra Sagur from India, write us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and we are looking forward to hearing your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card, as a confirmation. Yes, the details you sent were correct. We verify it by sending an electronic QSL card to you as a confirmation. So, Muhammad Khaku from the US, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a message, an email. Muhammad says, "We just made it through the first 15 days of Ramadan, the days of mercy. Alhamdulillah, it is truly a mercy that many of us are finally able to feel a sense of normalcy as COVID lays low this Ramadan." Salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the US. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. As you said, things are going, actually things, I mean, regarding the coronavirus and this disease are going to normal in this month, the month of Ramadan, which is the month of mercy. So we hope that this Ramadan, everything bad in the world, including the COVID-19, comes to an end. So Muhammad Khaku from the US, thank you very much for sending us this message, and thank you very much for your prayers and wishes. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. Thank you very much. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan from Toshiki Tsubo. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan has sent us an email. Toshiki says, "Dear IRIB staff, my name is Toshiki Tsubo and I am a student who loves broadcast listening and DXing. Yesterday, I listened to your English broadcast and I'd like to send you a reception report. I also send an MP3 file that I record your broadcast. I feel very grateful if you accept this and send me a QSL card or an EQSL card." Salam and warm greetings to you, Toshiki Tsubo from Japan, and thank you very much for sending us this email. So you like broadcast listening and DXing, and that's great. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs in an upcoming email? Yes, we are waiting for that. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card or EQSL card as a confirmation. And thank you for attaching MP3 file of our broadcast. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Toshiki Tsubo from Japan. And again, from the US, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Bill McDevitt. Bill says, "Dear staff, greetings from Florida. I'm listening on the new frequencies as an updated on your website. The season is changing from winter to summer here. As a result, reception of your station and many others is difficult at this time. As the season progresses into summer, your signals will gradually improve. Noise levels, static at this time of the year, are strong throughout the daytime hours in North America. I will keep you posted as to your signal levels as we get into summer. My wife and I are cyclists, bicycles, not motorcycles. We travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails. We have road trails in 20 states so far. I look forward to hearing your English program again on IRIB World Service. Best regards." Salam and warmest greetings to you, Bill David from the US, and please accept our gratitudes for sending us this great email. So we are so happy that you're listening on the new frequencies as updated on the website. And as you said, the reception of your stations and many others is good. As you said, the signals is improving because we are going from winter to the warm season, and that's great. So you're receiving strong signals during the daytime hours in your region in North America, and that's good. We are so happy for that. So thank you for sharing your information about your hobbies. As you said, you like cycling. You and your wife are cyclists. You like riding on bicycles, and you travel all around North America during summer months, riding various trails, and that's great. Wish you the best. We also are looking forward to hearing from you, Bill McDevitt from the US. We are waiting for, of course, your views about IRIB English radio programs. Write to us soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Alan Gale. So stay with us, please. Yes, Alan Gale from the UK has sent us an email. Alan says to all the staff at IRIB English Radio, may you have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan, and thank you for all your services and the work you put into them throughout the year. In the UK, a number of special short-term radio licenses are issued throughout the month of Ramadan, and these go under the name of Radio Ramadan. There is one in the nearby town of Oldham. One of these operate on special short-term FM frequencies and are in both the English and Urdu languages. Very best regards to all, and thank you for your recent email and EQSL. They were very much appreciated. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alan Gale from the UK. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email and for the, all the details you just mentioned. Thank you very much for this great email. And you also may have a blessed and enjoyable Ramadan. And thank you for telling us your views about, IRIB English radio programs. And that's great. A region, you said, nearby town of Oldham, of course, is broadcasting Radio Ramadan. And that's good. That's great. And as you said, it's short-term FM frequencies that are both in English and Urdu languages. That's good. So, Alan Gale from the UK, wish you all the best. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So here we reach to the end of our program, this week's actually listeners special. But before saying goodbye, again, I sent my appreciations to our great listeners, including Toshiki Tsuboi from Japan, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S., Madhab Chandra Sugur from India, Bill McDevitt from the U.S., Alan Gale from the UK for sending us emails. And also, I do extend my gratitude to those of our listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Olaf Ratovara from Finland, Ding Lu from China, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. As you know, tonight might be the night of Qadr or the night of ordainment, the night of Qadr is the night of mercy, goodness and blessing till the rising of dawn. It is the best night of the year. According to narrations, the earth is filled with angels and the fate of all creatures is determined for the next year. Please pray for us and may God accept all our prayers and all our wishes. Many thanks for being with us. Wish you all the best. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
When the far-right French politician Marine Le Pen posed for a selfie with a smiling teenager in a Muslim headscarf in Dunkirk on the northern coast of France, it was a turning point in the French presidential campaign. Marine Le Pen wants to ban the Muslim headscarf from all public places, including the streets of France, calling it a uniform of totalitarian ideology. So after posing happily with a Muslim girl in a hijab, she was attacked for going soft by her far-right rival, the television pundit Eric Zemmour. "Let me teach you about humanity," Marine Le Pen shot back at one of Zemmour's lieutenants in a television debate that went viral. "What would you have done? Pulled her veil off and mistreated her?" The news analysis you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian journalist Angelique Chrysaphis. The piece is titled "How Le Pen Tried to Soften Image to Reach French Election Runoff." One analyst called Marine Le Pen's tactic of appearing softer in person than her policy proposals a masterclass. She also sought to present herself as less dangerous than Eric Zemmour's extremist newcomers on France's tense and fractured political scene. It was mid-March. Her poll ratings took off and kept rising. Marine Le Pen, a 53-year-old, who has been a member of the parliament for 5 years, has created a distance between her smiling persona, posing with her pet Bengal cats for being mobbed by teenagers for selfies in the street, and the radical reality of her far-right anti-immigration manifesto, "To Keep France for the French." She has promised a referendum to change the constitution in order to curb the rights of immigrants and foreigners. She aims to prioritise natives over non-natives for housing, benefit jobs and healthcare. She would scrap nationality rights for children born and raised in France by foreign parents. Her success in reaching the runoff against Emmanuel Macron on Sunday, 24th of April, is not just about her long-running drive to sanitise her party's image and move it away from the jackbooted and anti-Semitic imagery of the past. That Marine Le Pen is now closer to power than ever before is in part the result of her own rethink of political strategy. Le Pen's analysis of Emmanuel Macron's 5 years in power, which have included the Gilets Jaunes or the Yellow Vests anti-government protests, was that Emmanuel Macron was a polarizing figure who had angered and divided the country and was out of touch with people's everyday concerns. Unlike her two previous populist presidential campaigns, in which she furiously sought to harness people's anger, this time she decided voters were exhausted by years of demonstrations and wanted calm. She positioned Macron as the divisive one, and herself as someone who could unite. Instead of holding big rallies, Marine Le Pen went under the radar to visit markets in small towns and villages, listening and posing for selfies. Instead of pushing her anti-immigration platform, which remains just as radical as before, she focused on the cost of living crisis that risked being worsened by the conflict in Ukraine. She also played down her visit to Russian President Vladimir Putin 5 years ago. To advance her position, Marine Le Pen put forward her own personal narrative of suffering. 5 years ago, her supporters had been horrified when she performed so badly in the 2017 presidential televised debate against Emmanuel Macron, mixing up names of companies, getting dossiers wrong, that it was described as political death live on air. She was written off as finished. But she believed that voters would identify with a personal story of picking herself up after defeat. People who have lived through painful moments can better understand the suffering and distress of others, she said. She talked about her difficult childhood as the child of a demonized political figure, Jean-Marie Le Pen, like her, a far-right presidential candidate, describing how, aged 8, she woke in her nightdress amid shards of glass and a blown-away bedroom wall following a bomb attack aimed at killing her father, Jean-Marie Le Pen. She talked about her teenage embarrassment at her parents' public divorce battle. The Gilets Jaunes protests had highlighted the difficulties of single mothers. Marine Le Pen described raising her own children alone. When her niece, Marion Marchal, abandoned Le Pen and joined rival Zemmour, Le Pen was emotional on television, saying she had helped raise Marion as a baby. But Marine Le Pen rose in the polls, while Eric Zemmour dropped. Ultimately, Le Pen knew that to have any chance of winning the final round of election, she must neutralize the nation's fear of her. Supporters of traditional political parties on the left and right had in the past voted tactically to keep her out because she was seen as dangerous, divisive, and unable to govern the country or run France's economy. But Marine Le Pen reasoned that those parties, the Socialists and Les Républicains, were shrinking on the national stage. By focusing on fears over the cost of living, Marine Le Pen began to turn public opinion around. In September of 2021, Le Pen was the 11th most popular political figure in France, already a high position. This month, she rose to become the nation's second favourite political personality, behind the former Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe. Last week, the pollster Brice Tinturier of Ipsos Poll found that if Le Pen were elected president tomorrow, more people expected an improvement in their own situation and the situation of the country than if Emmanuel Macron were re-elected. Just as many people trusted Le Pen to fix cost of living crisis as trusted Emmanuel Macron. An Odoxa poll for Loeb's found that in a second-round vote, 19% of the French people would vote to stop Emmanuel Macron, more than the 18% who would vote to stop Marine Le Pen. The think tank, Fondation Jean Jaurès, last year set out the factors that could facilitate a Le Pen win. She would need to win over large numbers of voters from the traditional right. She would need to have normalised her image to the point where voters no longer found her so dangerous that they voted tactically to keep her out. Emmanuel Macron would have to be viewed with the same general level of mistrust as Marine Le Pen herself to make voters refuse to vote for him. Macron's tactic so far has been to remind voters of the details of Le Pen's manifesto, slamming it as racist, anti-Muslim platform that would wreck the economy and create mass unemployment in France. But Emmanuel Macron's camp has found it harder to make criticism stick to Marine Le Pen. Le Pen argues that catastrophizing against her no longer works. She said French people no longer see her as the big bad wolf. Meanwhile, President Emmanuel Macron has urged people to vote in Sunday's 24th of April's presidential election, in order to prevent a Trump-like upset that would hand victory to rival Marine Le Pen. Emmanuel Macron made the remark on Friday, 22nd of April, in the medieval village of Figeac, as the presidential campaign drew to a close. He also compared a potential Le Pen victory to the UK voting to leave the European Union. Think about what the British citizens were saying just a few hours before Brexit, or people in the United States just before Donald Trump's election happened. I'm not going to vote. What's the point? The next day, they woke up with a hangover, Emmanuel Macron said. So if you want to avoid the unthinkable, choose for yourself, the French president added. Analysis from the Financial Times shows Emmanuel Macron with 55.3% support compared to Marine Le Pen's 44.7%. However, Emmanuel Macron warned on Friday, 22nd of April, that opinion polls had not been able to predict former US President Donald Trump's election victory or even Brexit in Britain. Marine Le Pen also urged her supporters to come out and vote during her final campaign stop in Pas-de-Calais. Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen also clashed in a television debate on Wednesday, 20th of April, as the French President Emmanuel Macron claimed there could be civil war in France if Marine Le Pen implemented a plan to ban Muslim women from wearing headscarves.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more. No more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble tradition, which has been narrated in the book Misbah al-Sharia from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. As you know, tonight is the night of ordainment, the night of Qadr, in which the destiny and decree of the next year for a human being is written down. And also, we are given the opportunity to repent from our sins that we performed in the year prior to this. So this is a very important night. It's both related to the previous year and it's related to the following year. So we should keep an eye about to the sins that we did in the previous year, ask God for forgiveness for them, and also ask God that he write a good decree for us with respect to everything that's going to happen to us in the following year. But one of the things that we should also take note of on this night is being thankful to God, right? For everything that he gave us in the year prior to this, right? And also everything that he gave us in our lives, all the blessings that he gave us. And most importantly, we should thank him that he gave us the opportunity to once again witness this year. You know, a lot of our friends, a lot of our relatives, they passed away in the year prior to this, and they weren't given the opportunity to once again witness the night of Qadr. Let's look at what true thanksgiving is in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It has been narrated in Misbah al-Sharia, the Lantern of the Path, in what has been attributed to Imam Sadiq, that the Imam said the following: the lowest level of thankfulness is to see the bounty as coming from Allah directly, without attaching the heart to any other cause save Allah Almighty and Exalted. In other words, when we see a blessing and we're given a blessing, we should look at it as having been given to us directly by God. We shouldn't look at the mediums that came between God and ourselves, you know, the various mediums through which this blessing passed until it finally reached us. No, we should imagine it as coming directly from God. Not imagine it as coming directly from God. It really directly comes from God. These mediums, they don't really play the role of any real causes, right? They are just, channels through which God's blessings pass until they finally reach us. In continuation, the Imam says, it consists of being satisfied, meaning the true thankfulness consists of being satisfied with what one is given, and also not disobeying him by means of his bounty, right? So the bounty and the blessing that we're given, we should not disobey God, use it to disobey God. Also, the Imam says, true thankfulness means to not oppose him in any of his commands and prohibitions as a result of that bounty, right? The bounty that we're given, we shouldn't use it to disobey God in one of his prohibitions. We should be careful that the bounty that he's given us is not used in a wrong way, in a way that we would sin, in a way that would lead to one of God's commandments being disobeyed and not followed. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at true thankfulness in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Tensions continue to simmer in the occupied Al-Quds. Israeli forces have once again attacked Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound. Dozens of Palestinians have been injured. Why is the international community not giving this the attention that it deserves? Is it too preoccupied or distracted with Ukraine? In this edition of the Spotlight, we will look at how Israeli desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and its violations against Palestinians has become a world rallying point behind Palestinians. Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Spotlight, founder of The Polemist,